As Pjerk said, I'm on the developer relations team for Google Workspace, and I'm going to cover some of the basics here of like vibe coding, AI tools, some of the problems you run into, and so on. The thesis here for my talk is that, you know, to move beyond basic prompts and, you know, build more robust applications, you have to understand kind of the foundations of these AI tools. They're constantly changing, but they have, you know, the basic core pillars there to kind of understand. And as part of that, we've probably all heard the term vibe coding, you know, the generate this app that does this amazing business case in one kind of prompt. Doesn't necessarily work, and it kind of becomes controversial in that way. There's different ways of kind of looking at this term. For me, you know, it's generally basic the concept of like directing AI with natural language to do a thing. Instead of writing the code on the left, on the right we have, you know, move all the rows where the status in column D is completed. Very different kind of workflow for your code and for workspace development. But natural language is not enough. Many of you have probably tried to do something with the AI tools, and it spits out something that's completely gibberish or doesn't realize what you're actually working on. And so you have to add in some context to basically, you know, get that relevant code. So I'm going to talk about the kind of context problem, but first we'll go back to workspace development. Everyone in here can probably add to this list of problems and challenges with workspace development. And so these same problems are applicable to the AI tools. And so we have to improve our, you know, docs and our use of AI tools for both the human developer and the AI developer. You know, AI tool, you'll maybe see it generating JavaScript code or trying to call like a normal fetch call instead of URL fetch app. You see that probably pretty often. It'll make up, you know, methods that don't actually exist. I look at a lot of the issue tracker issues that are submitted, for example, AppScript. And, you know, at the bottom here, you can see a little graph that shows that type error is becoming a very popular error type submitted for AppScript issues. And that's because it's an AI hallucinating basically a method in AppScript that doesn't actually exist, isn't in the docs or anything. So while that tool helps that developer that maybe, or non-developer, write AppScript code, it gives them a power that they didn't really have before. And so what we want to do is kind of move beyond that code that is maybe brittle or is full of bugs and, you know, make it more robust, basically. As part of doing that, we need to kind of know the different tools that we're using here. I think there was a bunch of people that raised their hands for various things on this list. It's been my experience talking with a lot of people, it's especially like AppScript developers. They're still using, you know, the chat app, talking there, copying and pasting code back and forth. They maybe haven't used the CLI tools like Gemini CLI that are more specialized to development. They're just using kind of the, you know, the AI chatbot. And there's all kinds of versions of these at kind of all the different layers here. Regardless of which tool, whether it's the, you know, the chat app, the CLI app, they're kind of all on the same foundation of kind of context, you know, like the persona, like Jasper was talking about, permissions, or maybe you call that tools, what's available to that, you know, agent or tool or, you know, whatever it can do, basically the permissions you've given it, and then the kind of the orchestration patterns. Does it run asynchronously in the background? Is it going off to, you know, do some long, deep thinking process? So back to the context problem, you know, how do we provide the information to go with our natural language prompt to actually accomplish something? There are a couple kind of ways to solve this. One is like project-specific guidance. These are rules files that you may have that describe the frameworks, the tools, other information about your project. Another part of this problem is actually pulling in the most up-to-date information. The models may have been trained, you know, 6 months ago. There could be a new API available, something deprecated, something that no longer works the same way. And so how do we get that recent information into those same tools? to the project-specific guidance. Many of you maybe seen like Gemini.md files. There's agents.md is a new pattern to kind of make it more universal for different AI LLMs and tools in your coding environments. And so, you know, you could have your persona, as Jasper had names for all of his that we just talked about. You could also have, you know, your kind of your business logic and business rules and so on. I don't really ever write these files. I just basically use this, the AI tool to basically look at my repository, investigate all the, you know, the frameworks and the patterns that I already am using, and to, you know, create a document about that. I omitted some of the actual details from the generated file here just to keep the titles. You know, another thing you can do is tell it to keep updating this as it learns. So, you know, when you go do an action, or, you know, you write a prompt that says, you know, implement this feature, maybe to learn something about the code base as you're interacting with it, and it would go append that to another markdown document. So it kind of keeps its own library, using Jasper's term again, of, you know, what it's learned. Another useful kind of pattern to use here is LLMs.txt. A lot of frameworks and websites even have these files available, which basically provide a markdown version of, you know, the resources that are available, whether it's a list of websites, the in terms of like coding libraries, it might be the entire reference docs of a certain library or framework that you can just copy and paste and put into your, you know, Git repository as a markdown file. For our developer documentation for Workspace, we have the LLMs.txt, which is a list of every single page in that directory with not always the greatest description to go with it in that markdown document. We're working on that. And then there's also, for every kind of leaf node in the documentation, there's a markdown version of it. Eventually, there'll probably be a little copy button, so you can just copy the markdown of that reference page, and you can use that to, you know, insert that specific context into your development environment too. Getting back to the live and, you know, more accurate data, you know, APIs change, as I mentioned earlier. Some LLM tools, such as Gemini, include, you know, grounding in some ways. You might have to turn that on. Another pattern is to use MCP server. MCP, Model Context Protocol, is a standard tool pattern for AI agents to call tools, access resources, and kind of just interact in a kind of a standard, predictable way. We now have a Google Workspace developer MCP server. So this isn't interacting with, say, Gmail or anything, but it is providing access to the developer documentation for Google Workspace. So you could be in Gemini CLI and, you know, asking about something in Workspace, a specific API, and it could go and search the documentation and get the most recent results back. Here's a little example about this. Asking Gemini CLI to create a joke about AppScript. Don't use any tools. Don't go do anything. Just use the information it has. And it comes up with a joke of, why did AppScript function break up with the infinite loop? Because it couldn't handle a commitment longer than 6 minutes. Kind of, it's okay. It's nothing special. We all know that 6 minutes is a limit for AppScript for the most part. And so I ask it again to use the search tool to kind of look through all the developer documentation to find a better joke. And you can see here it's making calls to the MCP server and just going through the docs, search strategies for the docs, assessing joke potential, exploring error themes. And so it has a joke here. It says, why do AppScript developers have trust issues? Because even their commented out code asks for permissions. So this is a little bit more of a hidden issue that I identified in the documentation, that if you write in a certain kind of string pattern in your your commented code in AppScript, it's going to request you know, drive permission or whatever scope, even if you don't actually use it in code. These tools, though, have kind of a little bit of a double-edged sword. If you have hundreds of these MCP servers, each with many tools, the AI tool isn't going to necessarily know, should I use this one or should I use some other one? If any of them return incorrect information, you know, it's going to kind of poison that context and you're going to get errors. And then, you know, as your context window fills up, it kind of loses the objective of what you're trying to accomplish. One way around this context problem is to, you know, use orchestration. This kind of gets into, you know, Jasper's talk around, like, there's a sub-agent that only focuses on this thing. It has this context, these rules, and this objective. This helps to kind of, you know, manage that context and kind of delegate correctly. You can even set this up in a pattern where you have, you know, instead of Jasper saying, you know, this agent go do this, this one do this, you have one that is like organizing all of those in the orchestrator itself. And, you know, there's, you know, for example, some of the VS Code extensions, they have modes and they'll have that pattern built in already. Another kind of tool kind of in this orchestration and more asynchronous is using Jules. So Jules now has a CLI that you can just, you know, prompt and send off a new session, which will go and eventually create a, you know, pull request in a GitHub repository. So here I asked it to create a slide in the slide deck, and it went off and did its thing. And here was a slide it decided to create based upon looking at the existing slides I had. I didn't try to use the slides API with AI, so I did try, but this was not using that. And so here's the Jules interface where you can kind of go and see what's going on and, you know, talk to the AI and iterate. And of course, it created a pull request in GitHub, and Gemini Code Assist was there to kind of provide a review. So there's, you know, layers of these tools, each with their kind of objective. And yeah, it's basically very exhausting keeping up with these. I think, you know, some of this is maybe a little out of date. There's, you know, skills now and, you know, yeah. Gemini extensions, when I first did this slide the night before, I had to go edit another slide for talking about the Gemini CLI extensions. Things are changing all the time. And so how do you deal with that? You know, I originally wrote this really complex, like, eval system where I was, like, trying to test with and without MCP server for these different use cases in Google Workspace development, using AI to then, like, judge the outputs and rank them. And, you know, there's so much non-determinism, it's really hard to actually write a proper eval, is the lesson I learned there. Too much noise without spending thousands of dollars of just running AI over and over in loops. And so, you know, some of it is just back to the, you know, vibes. How does it feel for your development? How does it, you know, kind of work for you? And then just knowing, you know, what use cases you're trying to do. Explaining or summarizing code, it's great. Finding and fixing bugs, maybe depends on the bug. Writing unit tests, it can be pretty good, you know, kind of constrained things like that. You know, building an application from scratch, maybe not so much. For Workspace itself, one of the things you might want to try when you have AI interacting with Workspace AIs is creating a layer of abstraction. Instead of trying to, like I did, have the AI interact with the entire slides API, you could have something that's like a tool or a function that is, you know, update the title of a slide or change layout of slide. Simplify the interface for the AI tools. That's kind of more of if you have an agent interacting with a Workspace API. Also, you know, having goals when you have these prompts, you know, expand or fix the implementation as function so that all unit tests pass. You know, that's a pretty easy one for it to kind of manage. It'll try to make a change, see if the test pass, and it stays in that loop. You know, using, you know, rules files and personas to kind of separate different types of projects and actions and prompts that you want to take on. And then, you know, just asking to verify. For example, if you were working on an ApeScript API that maybe, new Bean or whatever that you maybe advanced service that you're not familiar with, you could, you know, ask the AI to verify it. And for example, here's a case of verify it and use the documentation. So to go and look at the functionality, search the docs, and kind of go through that process iteratively. And then know the limits. Use it more as a pair than maybe a replacement. Yeah, and, you know, embrace vibe coding, understand the foundations, you know, context, permissions or tools, and then orchestration. Evaluate, and then, you know, build or use the purpose-built tools, Gemini CLI, maybe more than, say, the chat app, and that maybe that means you are moving to a different editor where you're using Clasp and Gemini CLI versus, you know, just the Gemini app itself and copying, pasting back and forth. For kind of next steps, like I mentioned, there's a Workspace MCP server available. It's a remote one, so there's no running locally. You may want to say trust, it's a read-only. It just reads the docs. Also, there's now a Gemini CLI extension for Google Workspace development, and it basically includes this, but it's easier to install with just like this, potentially. Also, a VS Code extension that also includes MCP server, so you can have it in different services. For example, the GasFix Gemini extension also already had this MCP server installed. If you install conflicting versions, it's smart enough to kind of figure out which one is there and which one needs to be added to your settings. And here's some QR codes for those different parts. This slide deck itself, MCP instructions if you want to add those to your development environment, that CLI extension, and the VS Code extension. The last two here are on GitHub, so if you have anything you want to add or any other features, let me know.